When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's time to tell our Pod Meets World listeners that if you're currently tuning in via headphones, it's time you take audio seriously and join the JLab family.
JLab offers incredible sound for all of life's moments.
It's tech done better. Consumers deserve better than the same old tech they've been stuck with.
Instead of high price tags, everyone should have access to new innovations and products they actually want. So JLab thought, hey, why not do something about it?
What are you waiting for? Get out there and join the JLab family.
JLab.com. JLab, your kind of tech.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Always fly in the same underwear. I fly to a place in Captain America, and I fly home in Spider-Man. Always.
Oh my God.
No. This is a real question. You're kidding, okay. Right?
No, absolutely not.
I love it.
Wow. Absolutely not. Yeah.
You fly somewhere.
So that means you have multiple Captain America underwears to choose from.
I have one Captain America and one Spider-Man. Flight. So I've my to the destination is Captain America, and my home from the destination is Spider-Man. Always, yes.
I love this.
I always have a D23, a D20 on me. I have certain rituals that I always
What's
do.
What's a D20?
A D, oh. 20 sided die.
Oh no! I get it. Yeah. It's one of the die. Okay. Yeah.
So I always have one on me. I've always got my Marvel underwear. I've got a ritual.
Well,
I do.
Oh my god, I love you so much.
So you can
much.
Never you like DC underwear would be anathema, right? Like DC
underwear. I've got okay. A great oh man, one of my favorite underwear. I literally have Batman underwear with a removable cape. So there
what?
Is a
there's a cape over the butt?
Over the butt, a small Batman cape
well,
over the
where
butt.
Where do you find these? They do butt? Not I cannot believe they make grown man
they do.
Underpants.
Oh, it
like
gets
this.
Worse capes. Because not only do I find them, but my wife will also buy them for me.
Well, okay, I want to break down the cape over the butt.
Okay.
Does your butt is your butt
everywhere.
Flying
your butt
somewhere?
Needs a cape.
It might be.
It's
it
own might, cape.
It's got its little cape. It's got a little utility belt around it, like a little Batman utility belt
I'm
and a
dying.
Cape. It's the way
well,
it should be. Now I've got a cape on my chair. Look at my chair. My chair is Batman.
I have to start drinking again. Just because the next time I fly with Will, I don't want to think about the fact that I know what underwear he's wearing. And now I do. I will.
Yep. There you go. You're going to know. You're going to know
what
underwear. He's leaving LA.
I have a pair of Deadpool underwear that I wear when I do our panels, too.
Wait, the question
for me becomes, you don't have lucky underwear that you wear for certain things?
Oh, my God. No.
Wow. Interesting.
Absolutely not.
Interesting. Great Deadpool. I've got a really good, I like the fun kind of underwear. Or funderwear, as I like to call them.
Oh, no, you said funderwear.
I did. I absolutely did. Like, the Bob Ross ones are great until I kind of heard that his family kind of gets screwed out of the royalties, so I don't really wear my Bob Ross ones anymore.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, that's not cool. But, I run the gamut. I've got some DC stuff. I had my eye in a great pair of Aquaman shorts, but the underwear, but they were gone. Like, you turn your back and they're gone. So you got to jump on that when you get the chance,
that's
pretty
amazing.
Much. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
These were things I never knew and probably never needed to know, but somehow I'm actually really happy I know them.
Good.
I've always heard that, like, actors are suspicious people, you know, that they have
superstitious.
Rituals. Superstitious. Sorry.
Yeah. Wait a second. Why did you say that, Ryder? No.
Superstitious people. I mean, you know, there's so many rituals, right? Like, everyone has their lucky socks. Everyone has their, like, you can't say the Scottish play in the theater. You know, there's all these traditions. And it's like, yeah, because you have to make something up. You have to believe in something magical.
You have to
completely convince your brain that, like, oh, I am actually this person on stage right now, or I'm experiencing this real emotion. I mean, that is a superstitious process. Like, that is
dude,
belief
I had,
in
it, it
magic.
It gets bad, but it also gets bad, too, because I had a hat that I wore for every single recording session I did, for every animated series I did, or every voiceover for years. And I was sitting there one time wearing it, and one of the actors turned to me and said, if you lose that hat, are you never going to work again? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And it got into my head where I was like, oh, I need to break this habit of wearing this thing every time, because in my head, I'm going to be like, my hat fell apart. I'm never. So I literally just started to not wear it because it got to be a thing. And it was like, it can't be a thing. The underwear is more just fun. It's not like anything bad's going to happen to me if I'm not wearing it, but it will.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't have any of those. I don't have any
nothing,
of those.
You don't have any rituals that you do at all whatsoever, like nothing. And I'm not talking, because there's some, like, Chris Farley was famous for apparently being kind of OCD, where when he would go onto the stage, run on the stage for SNL, he had to touch certain things a number of times, lick certain things a number of times. Like, it got to a mental illness.
Right.
But you don't have anything where it's like, all right, there's always change in my left pocket, or there's always I wear this or I do that. No Showtime rituals at all.
Oh, well, like, I definitely have designated pockets for stuff, but that's not like a...
That's just
like
an organizational tool.
That's an organizational tool. Yeah, there's nothing. There's no ritual. There's no magical, like, you know, I don't even knock on wood. You know, I've noticed you knock on wood and all that stuff.
Oh, I knock on wood all the time.
I mean, I liked our traditions backstage. I liked our, you know, Will, you and I had our handshake, our high five. Yeah. And then we pretended to bash our foreheads into each other.
Yeah. The football high five.
Football high five. Right. And then we did the scream backstage. But I mean,
I think when we were on Boy Meets World, I did have more of them, because I think there was consistency to Boy Meets World where I could have something like, you know, I think for a long time I wore that a yin yang thumb ring. I think I was, like, obsessed with making sure I had that thumb ring on for a while. And I was like, I'm never taking it off. I think maybe
are we going to see this on the show? This is
quite possibly. Yeah. You'll.
I had the same necklace for years.
Yeah. You wear the same necklace. I think I did. I don't remember it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I definitely had a thing about gum. I chewed gum all the time. And yet, you know, obviously you shouldn't chew gum on camera. So I think I had a thing about, like, always having a piece of gum in my mouth until right before we went out. Then it probably went on the gum wall.
The gum wall.
And so I probably had more of them then, where, you know, every week you're doing the same thing and it's easy to get into, like, I like to do this thing.
Yeah.
But when, you know, and I did for a long period of time insist on stopping my gas in the car, like when I would get gas, on an even dollar amount. And I inherited that from my mom, who likes to do that. And but then I would have this anxiety if it went over by a penny, and then I'd have to go up to another dollar. And then there were multiple times my car gas tank overflowed, gas pouring out of the side of it because I was trying to get to an even dollar amount. Until one day, I literally just one day said, this is dumb, I'm not doing it anymore. And I haven't done it since. Wow. So I still do it, but just attached
for fun to see if I can stop. Like, to me, it's more personal failure. Like, oh, 51. Like, but other than that, yeah, it's not like a thing. I like to see the zeros.
Well, welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
I am so excited about our guests today. I say that every week, but it's true. We've had so many amazing guests, and I'm always excited about them. We have Christine Lakin with us today, who played Al Lambert. Her full name was actually Alicia Lambert, which I don't think I knew that. I think I just always knew her as Al Lambert. She did 160 episodes of Step by Step, which was
a
TGIF.
Wow,
I had no idea that they went that
beat
long.
Us by two, really?
Yes, by two episodes. They also did seven seasons. And she is also heard on Family Guy as Joyce Kinney. And she is now directing for shows like The Goldbergs and High School Musical, the musical, the series. And most importantly today, she guest starred on an episode of Boy Meets World called Getting Hitched in season 6. So please welcome Christine Lakin.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
Oh my gosh! Hi! So nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you all.
You just had a big weekend.
I'm really tired.
Yeah, tell me. Tell us about your weekend.
My son turned 4. Super exciting.
Your baby is 4.
I can't believe it. It really makes me want to cry. He turned 4 and we were going to have a pool party at Grandma and Grandpa's because, you know, it's been only 105.
Right. Yeah.
So when you're thinking as a parent, you're just like, yeah, I'm going to make this happen. Well, what can we do? Pool time. So I had the whole thing set up and then Saturday was rain.
Oh, that's right. The one day in 4 years it rains.
It's right. Yeah. It's Murphy's Law with me all the time with these parties. So I'm like driving, you know, on Friday and I'm realizing it's rain and I'm like cold calling magicians. I'm like calling people. I'm like, do you know any entertainment? What can I do here?
Oh my God.
So I found someone. Sam Shazam showed up. He was great.
Yes.
Wonderful.
What a name. I don't even need to know what he does.
Shazam.
He's amazing. So we had the party on Saturday and that was really nice. And then yesterday I hosted the Burbank International Film Festival.
Oh, cool. Whoa.
Incredible.
Yes. And there were some really exciting movies in this festival, I have to tell you. So it was very fun, but it was a very long weekend.
Yes, that's a long weekend for sure.
So I'm excited.
So I was talking about you last night with my husband because we, you know, Jensen Karp is one of the executive producers of this podcast. And we were talking about having you on and he said, where did you and Christine meet? And I went, I don't know.
I had the exact same thought. I honestly, this morning, when did I actually meet Christine? It was like, no, we just kind of were in each other's lives.
Yeah.
Like all the time. But I have no idea when it first happened.
And that's what I was going to ask. Is this just a thing for all of us 90s kids who grew up doing this stuff? Do we just not remember where we met? Or do you actually have a memory of it, Christine?
I don't have a specific memory of the day that like we all met, but I do know for a fact that because of us being in the same block of TGIF, feel like we went to certain ABC parties together. Yeah. Like there were things like that. I definitely remember, Danielle, you and I would go to some charity events.
I have so many great pictures of us at charity events, like around Halloween,
yes,
when we
like
would
bowling.
Hand out, bowling, Halloween, where we handed out candy to people.
Yep.
I do remember, I think that's the other thing is that I'll say to Jensen, like, oh, probably one of those parties. And it's like, we really sound like we were partying in the 90s. And we really weren't, but there were a lot of, I guess, functions where they were bringing us all out, everyone from even not even just the TGIF block, but like kind of all the ABC stars and shows, and there were ABC events, and then
that was just the network events. There was also like Tiger Beat would do
something.
Right. There was Tiger Beat would like do something. An event, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then Ronald McDonald was always a really big one. My mom was very into me doing things for charity, and I always really enjoyed that too. So we did a lot of Make a Wish and things like that.
Yep.
You have to remember, I lived in Atlanta, so I didn't have any friends in LA really. And so all of these events were kind of like my social outlet.
Right.
So I would meet people and see people, but it's very strange because now, I mean, she would take pictures at all of them. And I was going through stuff last year because my parents were moving out of my childhood home. The pictures I found of some of these events with like people of all kinds. I mean, it was like people from the cast of Melrose Place.
Wow.
And like Tatiana Ali, Jenna Von Oy, like any kid that was on a show, like the kids from Home Improvement.
Lots of those.
Were you, I have a question going back to when we met in the weird places we would hang out. Were you at the famous like Tiger Beat paintball day where they just handed us all guns and we were shooting at each other?
You guys did a paintball day?
You were there.
You had to
have
been there.
I had
tennis ball sized welts on my body.
We went paintballing?
Dude, one of the most vicious things I have ever seen to this day is Jenna Von Oy, who I think I might have been dating at the time. I don't know if we had broken up yet, but we were definitely still friends.
I forgot you dated Jenna.
I did, yeah. We're on...
With both of your red Toyota Celica convertibles?
Yes! No, she had white. Hers was white, I was red.
No, hers was red.
I thought she had a white
matching.
One. Oh, God.
Wait, I am almost positive hers was red. Maybe I could be wrong. Because I knew for my whole life, all I wanted was a red Toyota Celica convertible, but I thought it was because of Jenna, but maybe it was you. I don't know.
Mine wasn't a convertible. Well, you'll see it. I still have it.
Okay. By the way, Jenna and I lived like next door to each other.
She's the best. She's like the nicest person in the world.
I know.
Weird,
I was obsessed with
her. Weird world.
Which
that we
is
all
why
lived in.
What I witnessed was so horrifying, which was we're on different teams and she like falls down and goes like, hang on. And so the ref comes over, is like, okay. And she stands up and walks away. She's about 6 feet away. And the ref goes, all right, game on. And Shiloh pops up out of nowhere and pops her twice in the back from 5 feet away.
Oh my God.
And you just hear, and Jenna going down and then Shiloh running away.
Shiloh was there, but you don't remember me being there.
You were there. It was.
Where was this in the world?
I want to say we drove up together. It was some like far away. I think it was like an Angel and Vicky kind of weekend.
It was like an Angel and Vicky thing because then it started a bit of a paintball obsession for me. Like in a Castaic or on the way to Vegas or something.
Mm-hmm. And the guy, and I forget his name, which is so terrible, but the guy, the kid from Baywatch had like his own guns and like brought his own stuff. And we were like, okay, let's stay away from this kid. Like
the kid from who?
The guy from Baywatch. Who
Jeremy
was the
Jordan? Jeremy Jackson.
Jeremy Jackson. Jeremy Jackson was armed to the teeth.
I don't think I went to that. I do remember getting invited because Vicky would like come and do step aerobics with us.
Oh,
as our
you
PE.
Did step aerobics at Step by Step?
She
yes. yes. Can you believe
step
it?
Step by Step by Step.
Step by Step. Oh my God. By Step aerobics.
New shirt. New t-shirt.
She would come. She and her husband had that company and they would go and they would train.
Oh, I didn't realize they trained you guys too.
For our listeners, you've heard us talk about this a couple of times. We had Angel and Vicky who owned like their own personal training
company.
Personal
Edge.
Yeah, that's right.
It was called Personal
Edge. I couldn't believe you remembered that.
I still have the shirt.
They were hired by, I don't know who, the production company or Disney or the studio, and they would go around to all of the different sets and train the kids for their PE time.
So they would play, you know, basketball with you, or if you wanted to do step aerobics, which I did, they would do.
Of course.
Wanted to do step aerobics.
I think there was like one day I got it. I was like, Angel, I should actually work out. And we like did push-ups. There was like one time. And it was always just like hanging out.
Yeah, it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas throwing elbows.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I was scared of the paintball because I think I remember Jenna telling me she got welts. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. I think I'll perish.
It was vicious. I mean, it was just like a double tap to the middle of the back at 5 feet. God. It was horrifying.
Yeah, it started for me a bit of a paintball obsession. I went multiple times.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a picture of me somewhere on like the cover of a paintball magazine.
Oh my gosh.
Please find that.
It's at the place where you play paintball.
Come
all right.
on.
Anyway,
you have to
on.
Find that. Oh, man.
I don't think I do have to find that.
So another thing, right now.
Another thing we have noticed about us child actors is that a lot of us seem to have started acting at the age of 10. How old were you when you started acting and how did you get into it?
So professionally, I think my first job, I was 8.
Okay.
We moved to Atlanta we moved to Atlanta when I was 6 and, I was always very tiny, so doing like team sports was a little bit of a challenge. So my mom got me involved in dance because it's like, well, you move to a new city, like get involved in something. And so I was doing lots of dance and I saw that there were acting classes at this studio and I wanted to know what that was. And I had been doing, I mean, I've been putting on plays on like under the mantle of the fireplace my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my mom basically said, it's, you know, class where you act out characters. I'm like, oh my God, like Carol Burnett, sign me up. So I basically started acting classes. After a couple months, the teacher said, you know, I'm also a manager, as many of them are.
Yes. Of course, of course.
And she said, I have you thought about putting your kid in commercials? And my parents were like, you know, eye roll, not really. Well, she seems to like it. Well, we'll go on a few. We'll just do it for fun.
Yep.
I book a bunch of national commercials. My mom finally says, well, maybe we should get an agent.
Yep.
So that I kind of fell into it in that way. And then I was doing lots of theater in Atlanta. And then I booked a couple like small movies that came through. And I was doing with my theater company, doing a show at a resort in South Georgia. And a manager from Los Angeles happened to be there with her family vacationing. And then, you know, she and my mom just decided to, they hit it off. They decided to just keep chatting. And a year later, my mom brought me out for spring break to do some like auditions and like make a demo tape. Because there was no Zoom and I lived across the country. So I made this like Betamax, you know, tape of me doing this monologue and like crying and whatever. And Bob Boyette happened to see it.
Wow.
And I mean, talk about it's all kismet. He saw it randomly from the control booth. And 2 months later, they were casting Step by Step.
Wow.
They had cast someone else in the role and she couldn't do it. And they pulled out and I was like the last person to be cast and seeing everyone. And finally Bob Boyette was like, get me that girl who was crying in the monologue. Let's see her.
Wow.
So I get home one day and they're like, my dad's like, they want to see you in Los Angeles for a TV show. And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. No one flies across the country to audition for a TV show. And my dad was like, you know, we got the frequent flyer miles, like go for
it.
Why not? It's unless you don't want to, that's fine too. So I was like, no, I mean, I kind of want to. So I came out, I auditioned and literally the next day I had the job.
Wow.
And so, Miller Boyette at the time. Yeah. Miller Boyette was like, it's like being found by the biggest of the biggest in TV. I mean, Miller Boyette was doing everything.
Yeah. Show. I mean, legend, like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, like all of the shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was wild.
And so then did you move to LA full time? Did your family come? How did that work then?
So my mom came out with me. We shot the pilot. And then it's like Stacey Keenan. And it's like all these people like Stacey Keenan. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I'm like freaking out. Like I had watched her growing up. And, you know, I kind of knew who Suzanne Summers was because I used to watch reruns of Three's Company.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a real rerun kid. Like I watched everything. I didn't watch Dallas, obviously, but enough of my mom's friends told me who Patrick Duffy was. And so, you know, Stacey Keenan's mom was like, ah, these pilots, they never go. Don't move out.
don't do it, kid.
Yeah. And my parents were not in the business. Like they wanted to just, you know, keep me very normal. So we decided to, when it got picked up, we got an apartment. We lived in the Oakwood.
The Oakwood,
you know, you just rent everything, like corporate housing. So we lived there for a little while. And then after, you know, a few months we'd been doing the show, we got robbed.
At the Oakwood?
At the Oakwood.
Tell the story.
I don't know. I never heard about a robbery at the Oakwood.
I haven't either. I thought it was that was frowned upon at the Oakwood.
The dark underbelly of the Oakwood.
Well, we lived in the one in the Marina because we worked the first couple of years. We were at Culver Studios. I don't know.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
I don't know. Like Venice, you know, I was going to Venice Beach all the time. I was like buying like the crystal necklaces.
I lived at the Marina Del Rey Oakwood for a season. Yeah.
You did? Really?
Yeah. Pre Boy Meets World, when I was filming a show called Julie with Julie Andrews, I lived at the Marina Del Rey Oakwood.
Because did they film in Culver City as well? Or yeah, they must have
been. We were at the, we were at Culver City Studios. Yeah.
Did you also get robbed there?
No.
Then let's get back to Christine's robbing. Christine, please. I'd like to hear about you getting robbed.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind
of
true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
Well, we come home from rehearsal and like my mom, I'm like doing homework or something. My mom keeps asking me if I've seen stuff. Christine, have you seen the stamps? No. Have you seen my camera?
Stamps?
No.
They stole your stamps?
Stamps, y'all. They stole.
They were mailing so many things.
They had so many things to mail.
Oh my gosh.
And
well, they had to mail your camera.
Yes. Yeah. They're friends. So then my mom's like, check your jewelry. And I'm like, huh? So I go in my little, you know, with all my little necklaces and things, and everything's gone.
All the crystals you bought from
Venice.
All the
crystals from Venice Beach.
Are gone. My Game Boy is gone. My mom's jewelry is gone. Our video camera's gone. Like, it was, you know, not all the things, but it was, you know. So
they either were very clean robbers, or was your house just regularly looked like it had been ransacked?
It didn't look ransacked. It was only like when you opened the drawers, you saw it. They were looking
clean
very specific.
Thieves.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This is where my mind goes. Did you go to like the security? Did they check the tapes? Did they do like all the whole thing?
Will
or was it like, hey, you got robbed?
Security.
I like security.
He's obsessed with security. He wants to know about security everywhere.
I want to know what security situation is. Did they check the tapes?
I don't think there were even tapes back then.
No.
But what?
The deadbolt had been tampered with. But they thought, because, you know, there were all those gates like at
Oakland. Yeah. Good security system there. Good security system.
The cops thought maybe it was an inside job.
I was going to say, it's probably someone you knew.
Yeah.
Someone. Oh,
it was your
someone
mom.
Someone had knocked
your
on
mom
the door.
Did it. Try and scare you out of Los Angeles.
Someone had knocked on the door a couple nights before. And either saying they were selling something or looking for an apartment. And, they had the wrong one. They were totally casing when we were going to be.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But here's what happened. So my mom is obviously, like, really distraught. It was scary. I was,
of course.
Like, sure. Yeah. I'd been in Los Angeles for a month and a half. And, like, we got robbed. Like, this does not bode well. And what I will say about, like, not only those producers, like Miller Boyette, that show, they rallied around us. They got out of that lease. They literally put us up in a hotel.
Oh,
and
nice.
And they took my mom and, like, with somebody, and they showed her like two or three apartments. And, like, they had people from the production company, you guys, they came over and got all our stuff out of there.
Oh, like, my gosh.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
And then
that
I
sounds
came
like welcoming. A really good environment.
It was just really lovely. And then, like, I remember walking, you know, into rehearsal like the next day, and Patrick Duffy had a like a Best Buy bag. It was a different kind of store, but he had bought me a new Game Boy.
Oh, what a guy.
I was just like, really? Yeah. So then we moved to Park La Brea, which is like the other, it's like the yuppie, like, townhouses.
Right. Would they have better, do they have better security?
Do they?
Will
I was going to ask. I was going to ask.
They had really good security. We lived in the big towers.
Yeah.
And they were like these old from like 19, I don't know when those were built, 1940s or something. I had outside my window was like a view of the Angeline poster.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The best.
Oh,
I love that poster.
Yes, yes.
So crazy. And, you know, it was fine. It was just a lot of older people lived there. Yeah. So we basically lived with like, it was like in a, I felt like we lived in like a geriatric
place. And so what year was Step
I was
by
just
Step?
Gonna, just going to ask that same question.
Were you guys 90? What year was your first season?
91.
Okay, yeah, I thought they
I knew
started
you guys
before.
Predated us.
Yeah. Okay.
91 to 98.
And so it sounds like, just from the little bit you've told us, it sounds like the environment on set was really great. But tell us more about what it was like on that set. What was the environment like? Do you have a favorite memory? Who were you closest to?
And who did you hate? Who was the worst?
Yeah
give us some juicy, juicy detail.
we were close. And it was really idyllic, I have to say. Like, we had a very close-knit family. A lot of those people had worked for Miller Boyette before. We had Inger. She was like our like craft services lady. She was Swedish, so lovely. And she would be like, you know, she was just like a mama. Like, she was making things for anyone and everyone. And, you know, six kids on a show.
Oh,
it was like, it was a lot going on. And we had three different studio teachers. I shared a schoolroom with Brandon Call. He never wanted to do any work. I was in this like school in Atlanta, and they were still faxing all my information and FedExing everything. Like, we would always go back to Atlanta. So once every 3-4 weeks, we'd have a hiatus. My parents were like, here's the deal. We're not going to disrupt our life. The most important thing is her education. And she's in this private school in Atlanta, and we're not just moving out here, like, basically on your whim. So on your dime, you'll send us back and forth. And they were like, okay. So
great.
I went back home like every fourth week and had a normal life. And then I lived, you know, in Atlanta from like February through July. But anyway, the set life was really fun. I mean, I don't have brothers and sisters, so it was definitely, it was like a brand new world to be around that many kids all the time.
Yeah.
So like Stacy and Angela had a teacher, the two little boys had a teacher, Josh and Chris. And then I was with Brandon, and he was like always like reading like car magazines and like whatever. And he would like read them behind his like math book. I mean,
all right. So I have to ask, since you met Brandon, or since you've talked about Brandon, from one sitcom older brother to another sitcom older brother, Jason Marsden, I think, was, you know, who's still my bestie, was on the show. And I think he was there when Brandon got shot.
Yes.
What?
Can you talk about that? Yeah, Brandon Call got shot in like a drive-by shooting in a car.
We had some weird moments that happened on the show. So I believe this was like the second to last year. yeah, Jason had come on the show playing Rich Halke. Such a great energy. Just loved Jason. And Brandon was one night, you know, Brandon always had fancy cars. That was his thing. And one night he was driving home. He got in some kind of altercation with someone on the road, some kind of road rage altercation. And they ended up kind of like, he and this other person were like kind of racing on the road. And Brandon thought he got away from this guy and turned into a neighborhood and it ended up being a dead end. And when he turned around in the cul-de-sac, the person was waiting for him. Gosh. And so he just like drove really fast, as he fast as he could past him. And he kind of put his head down like this. And the guy shot him like 6 times.
Yeah.
And he was hit here.
I've never heard this.
Yeah, went through one arm and out the other side and hit the other arm. And yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. He was like really lucky that he survived that. He drove to a police station. How do you know where a police? This is pre-GPS, you guys. Like,
right.
You know,
oh my gosh.
Go? And he shot 6 times. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically just like got out of the car and like passed out on the steps. It was wild.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I will say, like, I don't know for sure, but I really feel like that in some ways, I mean, that will change you as a person, yeah. A traumatic event like that. And I feel like he just really had no interest in being in the spotlight anymore.
Yeah. You can't blame him. Yeah. I mean, yikes.
Yeah. That was kind of crazy. And I mean,
when was that?
That was probably 96.
Okay, yeah, so 96, you guys had been doing the show for 5 or 6 years at that point.
Yeah, totally. And wow. He was out of school. You know, I was like, I think I was probably almost like a senior in high school or something. So right. We weren't in the schoolroom together or anything, which is like really when we were all like in school together, we were all like hanging out a lot and going
into that's when you school were rooms really
and playing jokes and pranks. And then once the older girls, you know, were out and Brandon was out, and then it was just like me and the two littles, you know. And I was like deep in high school. And so I had like a million tutors and I was like underwater all the time writing some freaking paper or whatever.
And were you still by like the time you were in fifth, sixth season, were you still going home every fourth week to Atlanta? Wow. You kept that pace up through all 7 seasons.
Yes. And it started, we like ended up just keeping an apartment in Los Angeles because it just became, you know, so crazy. I would go back and forth all the time. And it, you know, it was, I think like at the end of the day, when I think about it now, I think it was really smart on my parents' part because I don't feel like I really, as much as I missed of like a normal life or normal high school, I still have very vivid memories of that. And my time there, especially like in the spring, was so concentrated that it really home. Felt like I kind of had the best of both worlds. I would say to my mom, I can't go back to Atlanta. I don't have any friends. And then I'd go back and then I would love it there. And I'd be like, I don't want to go back to LA.
I don't have any friends. I know. I had a very similar experience. I wasn't going back to Atlanta. I was just going back to Calabasas High School. But I also every week went back to my regular high school. So I got to go to every football game, every school dance. I have very vivid memories of being in high school and also was still able to work. So I also feel like I got the best of both worlds. It's very hard and while you're in it, because there is no any sort of like, well, I'm behind a week now, but that's okay. I'll make it up, you know, a month from now. Like you really have to be on exactly with where your school is, but it does make you feel like you get to live a normal life.
Totally. Did you feel like when you went back to school, any of you like real school, did you ever feel what was the vibe like? Did people care? Were they like, who cares?
No, I mean, it was a lot of the same kids I had gone to junior high school with. In junior high, they cared a little bit more because I was also brand new to Calabasas. I had come from Orange County, so I didn't know anybody even from elementary school. And it was kind of like I got there and was already on the show or had just started the show. And so they didn't quite understand it. They were like, what are you doing? Why do you get to leave for 3 weeks and then just appear? But by the time I got to high school, we were in season 3 or season 4 and nobody cared anymore. So it was just like, Danielle's back and you know, it was no big deal.
It's interesting. I also feel like in LA, it's kind of a different story.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like people
yeah.
are just, yeah. you know, or they're just, they care, but they really like, they pretend like they don't care. Atlanta.
It's a whole other story.
It's a whole other ball of wax. I mean, imagine this. I start 7th grade at a brand new school and I'm also on this TV show that like is the prime audience. Like everyone there is the target audience. And so I remember going to my locker the first day, because I wasn't there for the first 3 weeks of school or whatever it was. So this, the buildup had been happening.
Yeah.
Oh, this girl, and she's not here, but she's new and she's on a TV show. And what? This is crazy. And I remember like putting something in my locker and like turning around, and there was like a sea of people just surrounding me.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Getting ready to like ask me questions. Like, it was crazy. It definitely wore off. And by the end, you know, by the like middle of the first year, nobody cared anymore. But,
but did it make you feel popular, or did you feel like people thought you were like an outcast?
No, I felt like it was a complete liability. It's not cool to be famous. Let me tell you this, because especially in high school or in middle school, because you always think that other people think that you think you're cool.
Right.
You know? Yes. And so you're constantly like downplaying all of it, because you just want to blend in. You just
I don't think I'm cool. I do not think I'm better than anybody.
Yeah. No. And like, I'll talk about it if you're interested, but then the more you talk, the more people are like, oh, she doesn't talk about herself. And you're like, no, I was just trying to be nice. I was just trying to answer your questions.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
So like, I mean, Stacey Keenan and I talk about it all the time. She was like, oh my God, it was a total liability. I never wanted to talk about the show like with like anyone in high school. Like, I just wanted, you know, I just wanted like everyone to like forget about that I did that for a living. And yeah.
Well, she also came off of My Two Dads, too. Yeah. So she was like one of those real kid actors with it. She was on TV most of her life by that point.
Totally.
You and then I completely have very walked similar, away, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She walked out of the industry.
Like, she's a lawyer. She's a, like a she's DA, cool. isn't she? Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool.
It's nuts.
Yeah, she's a criminal prosecutor.
Prosecutor, yeah. Yes. Can you That's imagine amazing. That? Like, I was just so cool. put in jail by the girl from Step by Step. Like, that would be, that's what would be weird. Be like, I'm almost, can you sign my writ of, no. You and I have very similar stories with that, because it's like, we were both from, like, I grew up in Connecticut, and my parents weren't in the industry, and it was kind of then, like, you'd come back to the people you knew, and anytime you opened your mouth thinking you were just having a conversation, it was then like, oh, you're fully yourself. Like, you asked me the question, like, what do you, you know?
Yeah, but they didn't have to churn butter in Atlanta.
You know, again, I am no longer taking the wrath for that, hearing that Ryder had to literally stoke the fires at his high school. So, yes, unbelievable. Can I ask you a question just very briefly going back? Because we've talked about, Danielle Ryder and I have talked about this, and so many young actors, I would say 90% of them start in commercials. Do you remember the first national commercial that you did?
Oh, yeah. I did a commercial for Six Flags Whitewater. It was the water park version at Six Flags in Atlanta. And we shot the commercial in like March.
Oh my gosh. Freezing.
In Atlanta in a water park. Oh, nice.
Freezing.
They had to get it done in time for the season. So
exactly.
You're shooting
ahead.
It wasn't open yet, right? So I'm in like, you know, the lazy river. And then at like one point they like had us like going in the big waves, and we're like, the waves are and they're like, the part of the commercial they use is me in the lazy river, because, you know, I'm just like,
oh, look like you're having fun, kid. Yeah. I know you're shivering. Just keep smiling. Oh, my God.
I was so excited because they gave me makeup, you know, because my lips were blue. I could not.
Hypothermia was setting
time.
In. So.
Wow.
I mean, I did Six Flags, and then, I mean, I did all kinds of weird ones. Sweetie Pups. That was another one.
What is a Sweetie Pup? What is a Sweetie Pup?
They were like these little dogs. They were like My Little Ponies, but they were puppies. And you could like do their hair and stuff like that. I did mayonnaise commercials. I hated mayonnaise. That was a real nightmare. I had PTSD from that one. A lot of banks. You know,
wow,
great.
It was fun though. They were really fun. I enjoyed them. The food was amazing, and the catering was always.
Listen, craft service on national commercials and on shows. It is really. It comes up so often on this podcast, and I realize how much we sound completely food obsessed, because we're like,
I know.
Oh, the catering was delicious. Oh,
but Danielle, we've talked about this. This is normal life. Because again, if my wife and I, 80% of what we talk about is what we're going to have for lunch.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Yeah.
No,
like,
I know.
That's food is hugely
but
important.
Also, when you're on a set, when you're not working, when you're not actively working, all you're doing is sitting around. Like, people don't realize how much sitting around goes on set. And now, granted, when we were kids, we were shuffled into school. But when if we didn't have those 3 hours of 4 hours of school, the only other place to gather is around the food. Like it's around craft service. Or that's where, and you
or
just
sitting
hang
in your dressing room alone.
Sitting in your dressing
room. That's when Tony Quinn came on the show. We started picking up hobbies. So every day he and I would go to a shooting range. We'd go play golf. We'd play cards. We'd go bowling. It was like, because they would say, you know, you'd finish, by the time the show starts to run, and Christine, you know this too. I mean, it's like your first, second season, it's all about the work. I mean, it's always all about the work, but it's all about the schedule. And then by six or seven season, we were down to like 4 days a week.
Yeah.
We would have to come in at like noon, we would be done by four. I mean, it was one of those things. So there's times where it would be like, we have 3 hours off, let's go play golf. I mean, it was just there was that's what now, you would do because you're moving along.
I heard a story recently, correct me if this is wrong, but recently I was on a set and I learned of a very famous actress who wrote her lines in some kind of invisible, not invisible to her, but like in some kind of removable pen in any like doorways, door frames, or if she was at a desk on a post-it note, she had her lines written everywhere. So no matter where her blocking was, she would just look and she could read what her line was.
Kind of brilliant.
And I was like, that sounds crazy. Who would do that? And then I read somewhere that you did the same thing. Is that true?
No. So the story is that's the thing that Patrick Duffy would do. He would sometimes write things like around, like in a, you can tell like watching the show now, because like Stacey and I have been rewatching it. Stacey never watched the show.
She's writer's never seen it either.
Okay, so she's watching it for the first time and we're talking about it and I'm finding it really fascinating.
Are you guys doing a podcast?
We are.
Okay, yay! Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. Yes, okay, go on.
But he would constantly do things like that. He also directed a lot of the episodes. So you can quietly see him like kind of nudging you to your mark or like taking you out of his life.
That's what Rusty did.
Or, like, Rusty used to do that.
Constantly. And Suzanne, she could never do that because she couldn't see the line. Like she had reading glasses, so she would be able to like see. But you can constantly see her checking her mark. She's always walking to Frank. She's always checking the mark. So no, I never did that, but we did joke about it on Hollywood Darlings that like it was like something that I would do. Just a takeoff of what Patrick Duffy used to always do.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Is it Danielle, can you check the time? Is it time to talk about MASH? Because on MASH.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Are we 60 or 70 minutes into this podcast?
Are we there? Because on MASH, every time Alan Alda apparently was operating and he was looking down at the body, it was actually just a piece of felt and his script. So he could read the lines as he was operating. MASH for the day.
Yes. I get it.
Absolutely. Especially when you're like the lead of the show, like Ben always had everybody's lines, but there was times where it's like he had six pages of dialogue to himself and it was kind of, I can get writing that down somewhere or, hey, my script is tucked. You know, Rusty would always do the notes, do everything on the script and then sit on it. Don't you remember that? He'd stand up and then
and under the couch.
Under the chair or whatever, just because it was right there if he needed it. So everybody's got their own little
tricks. We were constantly hiding things under that couch. I think, I don't remember who it was. It might've been the Friends reunion, but then like when they pulled an old couch out to do like some kind of reunion and there were still script pages.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's about right.
Amazing.
So everyone does it, you know?
Yeah. And you ended up becoming very close with Jodie Sweetin. And you guys are still very close.
We are.
Who, like, what other friend circles, like celebrity friend circles, did you run in the 90s? Who were your closest friends?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I was really close with Angela Watson when we were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us were like thick as thieves. We were like sisterly. You know, I think from like all, I mean, I was close with Jenna because we lived in the same building and her family would come
out.
Jenna Von Oy. She had a younger sister. I mean, obviously I would see you guys quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Writer, we were in acting class together.
Young Actor Space. Yeah. Yeah. We did Young Actor Space. And Danielle, you were there too.
I was there too for a little bit.
Is that the one Bruce?
Bruce and then Diane.
No, that was a different thing. It was Diane's. Diane was the one who ran Young Actor Space.
Okay.
She was amazing. And that was like the best acting class in Los Angeles for kids. It was so good. Yeah,
it was so good. And that really became like my, that was my social circle. Yeah. So Kelly Martin was in that class. Nicole Tom, David Tom, Lindsay Price, Luke Edwards.
Yep.
Who else? And then just like a bunch of like young, like, especially as we became young adults, like a bunch of like people who had just graduated college and they right. come out and Chad Gabriel, like, yeah. So jeez. That was kind of like my crew. You know,
did you date any child actors?
Well, I don't know if we'd call it dating.
I mean, obviously when we're like 14, is it really dating? Yeah, but you really know, dating. The teenage dating.
Yeah. I did go on a couple of dates with Andrew Keegan.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. I think
everybody did.
I didn't.
No, Ryder, you didn't?
Good. Ryder's the only one.
Oh. I'll ask him why he wasn't interested.
I know. And then I think he was really the only one. I had definitely had a crush on some of the Home Improvement boys. Mm-hmm. And when I would like see them, I would like always like flirt, but nothing really matriculated from that. And then I had a couple like boyfriends in Atlanta, but then and season, I want to say four or five maybe of the show, we had a new character come on. This was right before Jason, I think. He was Flash, and he came on and he was this like crazy guy who was like one of Frank's, I guess, like assistants. And anyway, he was played by a guy named Jeff Judae.
And I know Jeff. Jeff and Jason were really good friends. Yeah.
And so Jeff came on the show. I thought he was super cute.
Mm-hmm. Very
I
think nice
I was
guy.
Like 17 at the time, and he was like, I don't know, early 20s. And then we went on we did a Disney trip. I'm sure you guys did too. Did you ever film at Disney World?
Disney World, yes.
So we're filming at Disney World.
Stacey Keenan was actually in the episode where we went to Disney World.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
let's not,
right.
Let's not even get into that, please, please, people.
Okay.
Will was
I was
behind.
Not invited.
Will was not there.
But, I had the biggest crush on Stacey Keenan my entire life growing up, to the point where I said to our producers, I would love to get Stacey Keenan on the show. They do, and then they fly everybody to Disney World, and they're like, and you're staying home. Like, hey, thanks.
Why?
Yeah, it was awful. Because they're the worst.
It was so much fun.
I don't know.
It was
I don't want to hear it.
Okay, so go on. Don't let Will bring us down. So.
So we go to Disney World, and it's just, you know, you're having the best time.
The best.
You have a host, right. And you're going on the rides, and like, there's no school. You're like, oh, I'll do it later. I got to ride, you know, Tower of Terror.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
I know. And Jeff and I are like, start going on rides. And then like one night, me, him, Angela Watson, like her boyfriend at the time, we all go to like downtown Disney.
Oh,
and
we're
like dancing, and we're like at mannequins, and we're on like the rotating dance
mannequins.
Floor.
That's so funny.
And he and I like kiss, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I had just like the biggest crush on him. So then we have to leave Disney World, and that was our last episode. And I have to go back to Atlanta, and he's going to LA, and I'm like crying. I'm crying in the transfer van, and I've had the time of my life is playing from Dirty Dancing, and I'm like, I'm never gonna see him again. And I am heartbroken. We end up dating for 4 years.
No
really?
Way.
First boyfriend, like my real first boyfriend. And he had been, you know, for all sorts of reasons, they had to bring Bronson Pinchot on and blah, blah, blah. His character didn't continue, but he and I did. And and he was like really into theater. He took me to the Amundsen and the Taper. And I mean, he was just,
he was really nice. Like he was just a nice guy. And the thing I remember the most about him, and he was not a big drinker, so I don't want to in any way, shape or form, but any restaurant you go to, up to and including Burger King or McDonald's, he'd try to order a beer.
What?
And so it would be like, you'd be
there's
at like
a bit that
you'd
be
at like a diner, and he'd be like, yeah, can I get a beer? And they'd be like, no, we don't have that here. It's like,
hilarious.
Okay, no, but it was just everywhere we went. Like, can I get a Whopper? And if you have a beer, like, nope, that's not, they don't have that here. But I just remember
so
him
random.
Being like the nicest person in the world. He was just a sweet guy. Yeah.
He was a really sweet guy. He actually was just out here. He has two children. And so we still keep in touch. And
oh, that's cool.
Out here, we all went to dinner. Yeah. We don't think he ordered a beer. He's gluten free now. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Wow.
We recently had Marla Sokoloff on, and we talked a little bit about it, how a lot of us went through just some very serious actor burnout. And so considering you also did 7 seasons of Step by Step the way we did 7 seasons of Boy Meets World, did you ever experience like just total burnout? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Get me away from here. Get me back to Atlanta. Or did you never experience that?
You know, I don't feel like on the show necessarily I ever experienced that. I had such a specific relationship with acting because it was the thing for me that was like my fun. It was my outlet. And my parents were always like, well, that's great, but we also expect you to get really good grades. And like that comes first. So for me, it was more like I experienced burnout with, I think, the schedule, the workload of school, mm-hmm. coupled with the work. Stuff that I really wanted to do. And that was at times, especially like preparing for college and doing college applications, I just had a lot on my plate. And I feel like there were times at which I felt, yeah, like I couldn't do it all. I didn't really experience actor burnout necessarily until I was a little older. And it's just like the constant auditioning.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, honestly, it's one of the reasons why I started directing, because I was just right. like, I don't think I can keep doing this the rest of my life. I've been doing this since I was a child, and I love to work, but the constant auditioning, I need a break.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that part of it personally.
How did you get into directing?
About 10 years ago, I had started to experience that very thing that I was just discussing. And I thought, I got to start doing my own stuff. That's where I think I'm happiest. So I started writing. I took a couple classes. I started, I had some ideas. I made a really silly mockumentary digital series called Love and Lakin. And my friend at the time had a documentary film company. So we had all this equipment, and he's like, let's just do something silly. And I was like, okay. So I wrote this stupid series, and I was doing a film called You Again. So all these, I was around all these people. So like Kristen Bell did an episode, and Kristen Chenoweth did an episode. I got Jamie Lee Curtis to do an episode.
Wow.
Bornheimer. Anyway, it's basically about this girl named Christine Lakin, who used to be a child actor and thinks everybody knows her. It's like a comeback with The Office.
Yeah.
And we had such a good time filming it. It was just silly. I put it in a bunch of film festivals. We won some stuff. It got bought by Hulu. So that was really like the first time that I did something that was mine. And I was like, I had more fun doing that and not making any money from it. It wasn't about that than anything else. And so that kind of got the wheels turning. And then at the same time, I have this other life as a choreographer.
I know. I've seen.
Jeez.
I know. It's really
tell us a little bit about that, because I didn't even know that was going on. And then I saw you posting about it on Instagram, and I was like, holy cow, she has like a full-blown other side hustle.
I do. So like I said, when I moved to Atlanta, I had been in dance. So I was like a competition dancer before Step by Step happened. And then all of that kind of went away. And I sort of started to go back to classes. And like, I was trained, but I was never going to be like, so you think you can dance? Like, I wasn't that good. But I do have a background in dance. So when I went in my 20s, when the show ended, and I was going back to theater, and I was in acting class, and I found a theater company, and I found a home. And really, for me, it was about like, remembering why I love to do this. And I had to keep that going so that I didn't spiral out of like trying to get the next job and like trying to be who I once was. And like all of that, I think, can lead you down a really, for me anyway, a very strange rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. So I got into this theater company, and a lot of times in theater in LA, people were like, well, we need someone to choreograph this number. Can anyone dance captain? And that was kind of me. So I started doing it just for my theater company. Then my name got passed around. I did it for a few more, productions. And I got nominated a couple of times. And then I went to do a movie called Reefer Madness in Canada. And I was there just like hanging out, waiting for my scenes. And the choreographer said, would you come skeleton crew for me? And I said, sure. So I helped her build some dances. And then she hired me to be an assistant on a film. And from that, literally ADs just started to, my name would get passed around, and they would just start to call me. And the thing that I realized I was really good at was communicating the language of dance to people who are non-dancers.
Right.
So I was really good at, it not only meeting with an actor who looked at me with fear in their eyes and said, I'm not a dancer. And I'm like, we're just going to like play. It's like, I would disarm them completely. Then I would see very quickly what they were good at and what they like. Some people you think have rhythm, don't.
Right.
So I would really break it down. Yeah. And I would like make it very simple, find out what they were good at, keep it clean, hire people around them to make them look this way and that way. I would kind of like talk to the director, the producer, we would film it. I would change it considering what they would want, whatever. So for 10 years, maybe more now, I've been doing that on all kinds of shows. I've worked on Westworld. I've worked on True Blood.
So cool.
I've worked on 90210. And then I got season one. I started doing it for the Goldbergs. And around season 5, I think. I was sitting there and waiting, and I'm watching all these directors because you're waiting forever, as you know, for your scene. You've already rehearsed with the cast, and so you're waiting and waiting. And I just thought to myself, I'm an idiot. That's the job I should be doing. I'm mm-hmm. watching all these directors, yeah. and I'm like, yeah. why have I not been doing that? So that really started me on this new trajectory of trying to figure out my way in. And it's, as you probably know, writer, it's mm-hmm. not linear. You know, I didn't go to film school, but I had all this information. I knew the job. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to give myself more practice so that people, and more to show for myself, that so that people would take a chance on me. So I started directing everything I could get my hands on. Funny or Die shorts, a Friends short, a pilot presentation, a music video, like anything I could do, I did. And I got in a couple of women's advocacy groups, and I was still choreographing. And I really think it was the combination of me being a choreographer and then having been in the business a long time. It took many years, but of advocating. And then I was trying to get on the Goldbergs because that was sort of like what I thought my easiest way. And I was shadowing. I was on your show shadowing. I was just shadowing and shadowing and hoping someone was going to give me a job. And I was choreographing a number on the Goldbergs. I was pregnant at the time, newly pregnant with my son. And I remember talking to Wendy McClendon. We were doing some kind of flash dance thing. And you know, we were talking about female directors and how they would just like to have more of them. But there were so few and they were always working. And I was like, and we just had a really nice chat about it. And I think a lot of the actors at that point on that show trusted me.
Yeah.
With me. And it took a long time, but I think a lot of people put in a good word, and you know how these things happen. It's kismet and timing. And so I literally ended up sending Adam Goldberg a bunch of my stuff, but I was like, oh, I'm probably never going to hear. Like, you know, I was really kind of at the end of my rope of like, I don't know how I'm going to get into this. And I had literally just had my son. This is 4 years ago. I just had my son. And the day after I gave birth, my agent called and said, I know this isn't great timing, but they'd like to give you an episode of the Goldbergs and it shoots in 7 weeks. And I was like, awesome. Sign me up.
Yeah.
And I looked at my husband. I was like, I don't know. What do you think? He's like, well, how do you feel? Yeah. You can reserve your right to say no,
right.
You know, even a couple weeks, if you don't feel well. I had a really easy birth with my second. And I was like, he's like, but I think if you should do it, he's like, I will make sure this child lives. You should do this. Yeah. Right. And so I was like pumping and going to work. And yeah, and so that was my first one. Amazing. And then luckily, very thankfully, they liked what I did. And they've had me back a bunch and done some other stuff too. And so
good for you.
She's hysterical. Wendy is
the best.
Oh, man. I was such a fan of hers, especially on Reno 911. And then Sean. Sean Giambrone is a living cartoon character.
He is.
And I say that in the most phenomenal possible way you can imagine.
He's the sweetest little lamb. He incredible. Really is. He has not changed at all.
He's incredible. I talked to him last week. He's incredible. Such a fun guy. Well, but it's like he's so happy to be there, you know? He's always. Just still. Yeah.
I have an amazing picture I will give to the Pod Meets World Show Instagram of Christine and I at one of those bowling events that we went to. And Andrew Keegan was there and Casey Keegan was there.
Yes.
And I am wearing a Batman Returns T-shirt.
Of course you are.
Yes.
Of course I am.
That sounds
and it's a great picture of Christine and I. And I have so many of my little TGIF 90s memories involve you, Christine. And even though we can't remember exactly how we met, you are just an indelible part of my teenagehood. And
I mean, well, same for all of you. I have like very specific, whether it's like you sleeping over at our apartment. I think you came over for a sleepover once, or like Will, like, I think I helped you move, or I helped
you,
I helped someone move.
You helped me move. It was Marsden and somebody, and you all just showed up to help me move from one apartment to another in the same building. It was like having to move one floor up.
Yeah.
That was so
Spider,
cute.
Like filming, you know, Buck Naked Arson for 2 weeks. That was like one of the best experiences
I've
ever had as an actor. Yeah. It really sticks out there as like one of my
favorites. Was that at Redwood Shire?
Yeah. Yeah, we shot a movie right after Boy Meets World ended, the summer after. We shot a movie at my parents' property. It was one of the first high-def digital films ever. Like, we got the cameras that George Lucas had, like, not taken for Phantom Menace. We got the other cameras, but they were like, you know, it was like the new latest technology. We shot a feature in 12 days, which back then was just unheard of to make something that quick. Now it's kind of standard, but back then we shot, all of my parents' property. But we just had so much fun. We were just like camping out and like staying up until sunrise because we were shooting nights. Oh, so much fun.
It was the best. It was great. It was really,
and then you brought me on Hollywood Darlings, which was just a ton of fun. Which was just a ton of fun.
Oh my gosh.
That was a fun episode. Yeah, that was
Really that fun. Was a really fun job. I have to say, you know, like getting to do something like that with people you love and bringing all, you know, friends in and like just the improv nature of that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why more things aren't like that. I was just talking
because more people won't allow it because all the networks and stuff don't allow it. That's the answer to that, unfortunately.
And I mean, even as a rehearsal process, even as a director, I think about, you know, having people talk about their characters or talk in character about who they are. I mean, it's such a valuable tool to have. And I wish that there was, you know, more rehearsal time to do stuff like that, or even just improv scenes between characters.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, I mean, it was just really the best. So fun.
Christine, tell everyone where we can find you and where we can see you, and tell us about your podcast with Stacey.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Yo Lakin. Yo Lakin. And our podcast is called, we have an Instagram. It's called Keenan and Lakin Give You Deja Vu.
I love it.
And that will be coming out shortly. We have like a few more episodes to film in season one. You know, she's a lawyer, you guys. She gets a criminal case. And she's like, I'm sorry, I got to put these people away. And I'm like, you
got real work to do.
Yeah. So very soon, probably sometime this fall.
Incredible. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Always
fun to catch up with you, and you're a mom inspiration. We didn't even get to talk about the fact that you have two beautiful children and a fantastic husband, but you're always like such an inspiration for me, both work-wise and personally. I look up to you in so many ways.
Same here.
Thank you for being with us.
So good to see you, Christine.
So good to see you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
I don't like her.
Yeah.
The worst, right?
She God. Is just terrible, isn't she? Wow.
Yeah. She's just, you know what? One of the things I just love about her so much is never once do I have a single memory of her where she's ever been anything other than just totally her. She is one genuine. Of the most authentic, genuine people. There's no airs about her. No. She's just who you see is who you get.
She's also always smiling. Yes. Always smiling. It's amazing.
And helpful. When I was pregnant with Adler and I knew absolutely nothing about what was about to happen to me, I knew, you know, you're a first time mom. You don't know anything. She was one of the only people to pull me aside and say, listen, here's going to be some things you're going to need to do. And here's going to be how you're going to feel. And here's what's going to happen. And I don't want you to feel blindsided by it. And she just gave me, and she put me in touch with people who were able to, like, I mean, she was phenomenal. And I've talked to her about directing stuff. Like I remember because she was saying she was shadowing on Girl Meets World.
Yeah, she shadowed me and Shiloh.
Yeah, I knew when she was trying to get into directing, and I remember, you know, watching her do it, and now to see the amazing career she's had and will continue to have is just wonderful. But
it also has to be said, a wonderful actor.
I
never watched episode. I realized as we were going into this, I was like, I don't think I've seen a single episode, which is, you know, maybe not that crazy.
Par for the course of the show.
Yeah. But I don't know what that show, I mean, I have like an image of like, it was a family show, you know, and I knew, but it was really working with her in acting class and then working with her on Buck Naked Arson. She is such a good actor.
Yeah.
And I always thought always brought a professional attitude, you know, like you said, super positive, but genuine, but then also just talented. She could make a scene come alive. Such a good actor.
She's incredible. So I'm so glad that she joined us for that. And our next episode will be that we are recapping season 1, episode 14, The B Team of Life. It aired originally January 28th, 1994. So we will see you all later in the week with that. You can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. And you can also buy our merch.
Merch.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. And we get your emails this last week. I'm not going to say what yet, but boy, did we get a lot of emails about one particular subject.
One over thing. And over and over.
Boy, did we hear about it. So I would like to say email us, but unless you're going to, if you write about anything other than the llama pen.
We know about the llama pen.
Okay, we got it.
I don't know what that is. If somebody could send in some emails about that, I'd appreciate it.
Podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. If you insist on writing more about the llama pen, we will have to close the email down. Thank you guys for being with us. Will, I think it's you.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers, Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. You can follow us on Instagram at @PodMeetsWorldShow or email us at PodMeetsWorldShow@gmail.com. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.